Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Now, in 1992, when the unemployment rate in Ireland was high and the number of young people choosing emigration was devastating for their families, playing the lotto allowed people to dream of another kind of lifestyle. But the odds of winning the jackpot were slim and the dream seemed far away to many. Well, one Cork man was convinced that he had the winning formula, and all he needed to do was convince a group of people to believe him and to back him to the tune of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds. Well, his story and the syndicate that backed him is the subject of a new feature documentary by award-winning filmmaker Ross Whittaker. It's in cinemas from Friday and it's called Beat the Lotto. Ross is here in studio with me and Stefan Klinsevich is on the line from Yawlin County, Cork. Good morning to you both, Stefan and Ross.
Morning, Miriam.
Good morning. Lovely to speak to you. Listen, Stefan, I'm going to start with Ross. Give us a brief overview of this film. It was 92 and the lotto was only a few years old.
Yeah, well, as I remember it, originally the lottery had started in kind of 1986 with scratch cards. And then a couple of years later came Lotto, which was the game with the balls, you know, bouncing around that we have until this day. And around that time, I suppose, you know, as you've alluded to, Ireland was like a very, very different place. And this incredible thing came along and made people dream. And it really was. It's hard to explain to people maybe under a certain age what a hugely exciting thing that was, because not only were, you know, I never knew anyone that won it, but you might have known somebody who knew somebody who had won a jackpot and now they were living in a big house and all that kind of stuff. And as well as that, like the immediate impact to us was in our local tennis court. We suddenly had a local tennis court with two hard courts, and that became like a kind of hub of the community where people would hang out. So it was very visible to people that this lotto was actually changing Ireland right in front of our face. And that was very exciting. And then in terms of the film, what Stefan noticed, and it's funny because it was something that I remember doing in maths in school, where our teacher said, "Now, this lotto exists now. Now, what would happen if you bought all the combinations?" Yeah. And then a couple of years later, I was listening to the radio and I heard that a syndicate were trying to do this, which was Stefan and all the people, Paddy and Stuart and all and Morris and all the people that helped him with that. And what they attempted to do was buy all the combinations, because on a particular weekend there was an offer, and I'm not getting too mathematical, but it was 100 quid if you matched four. And within all those combinations, if you bought them all, there was actually 6,500 times that you would match four, which meant you were guaranteed back a huge amount of money just by doing it, plus the jackpot. Not to get too technical. Anyway, the lads and all the people with them saw this opportunity. And the film is about those 3 days where they attempted to buy all those combinations. And typically with any film, things went wrong along the way and there were twists and turns. And ultimately, the climax comes when the draw happens and we see, do they win or lose?
I've seen it. It's absolutely brilliant film. Stefan, I'm going to bring you in here. You're in Yawl there. You have an ace maths brain. As Ross said, you're an accountant by trade. But just before we get into your idea for how to beat the lotto, tell me a little about yourself. Your name, it's not a Cork name, Stefan.
Well, it's a Yawl name now. But to cut a long story short, Mum was a psychiatric nurse. She started her career in the South Infirmary here in Cork. And she moved on to RD Mental Institution as assistant matron. Now, when the war was over, the Allies were looking for people with medical expertise in the psychiatric field. So Mum volunteered to go with the Allies. And she was actually appointed under Montgomery's 21st Army Group Medical Corps.
Wow.
So she went over anyway, and she was appointed in charge of a hospital named after Glenn Hughes, the General Glenn Hughes. It was called Glenn Hughes Hospital. Now, Dad, on the other hand, was a paediatrician, and he used to visit Mum's hospital once a week, and Mother would have to report to my dad the progress of the patients. She mainly dealt with children. And that's how Mum and Dad met.
And he was Polish, Stefan, isn't that correct? Polish?
Well, what actually happened was my Polish grandparents, they lived in Vilnius, which was part of Poland in those days. The Bolsheviks excommunicated them to Siberia because my Polish grandmom had what could be termed as noble blood. So anybody with noble blood was thrown out to and excommunicated to Siberia. So my dad was born in the city called Krasnoyarsk in Russia, in Siberia. And basically, that's a city famous for a production of steel and still is to this day. But my Polish grandparents then escaped from Siberia. Strangely enough, based on the outcome of a card game. Now, I never found out what card game it was, whether it was poker or something equivalent. So the underground got them out, got them to Moscow, where my grandmom had a sister, then on to Poznan in Poland. Wow. And that's how my dad was born in Siberia, and he qualified as a in the medical profession in Poznan University.
Great. Now, listen, your own story, before we get into you planning to beat the lotto, you originally got into stamp collecting and selling, didn't you, Stefan? But that went wrong for you, I think.
It did go very wrong. There was a substantial six-figure sum at the time, which was a huge amount of money, where a major stamp collection had been given as collateral for a loan. Now, the loan was never repaid, so the collateral, it was decided that the owners, which there were documents about, would dispose of it and brought it in to me and said, can you get rid of this? And I said, yes, I can. So I found a single buyer in Germany, and the agreement was he'd pay $10,000 a month over 12 months or 15 months or something. But the first couple of checks went through, and then trouble started because, you know, I was caught. So there were high court actions from the guy who gave the stamp collection as collateral and everything in London, in Germany, in Dublin, and that broke me. So things went wallop from that, really. And then it was shortly afterwards that the lottery started, Miriam.
Now, you regrouped, you came up with this amazing idea, Stefan, truly audacious, as it said. You did the maths and you decided you could win the lotto. How were you going to do that? Simply explain to us how you were going to win the lotto.
Well, first of all, in there were only 36 numbers at the time. So the odds of winning it were just, you could say 2 million to 1, fractionally under 2 million to 1. So a simple calculation, as Ross said earlier about the guaranteed £100 for every match four, it basically meant between the match fours and the match fives that we would have something in the region of 70% of our money actually guaranteed back. So it was a case of the jackpot and hope that we would be the only winner. That's effectively how that arose. Now, it was the weakness in the system because of the guarantee of £100. So I approached a national lottery about a year earlier and I said, look, guys, if I transfer the £1 million to you, can you give me one ticket covering all the, that covered all the combinations? And they said, no, we can't do that. You'll have to go out and mark all the cards yourself. So basically, they invited me, per se, to go mark all the cards. So in my mind, I said to myself, OK, guys, I'm going to do it. And that's how it started.
And Ross, look, I love, there's an amazing scene. It's a footage you found of Stefan on Pat Kenny's TV chat show, Kenny Live. Pat himself wasn't convinced, was he? This could be done. It's a great clip.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There was a bit of a disagreement, perhaps you might say, between Stefan and Pat over certain of the odds, which was kind of on the foot of a book that Stefan had done, which was essentially to explain to people how to start your own little syndicate and reduce the odds by buying, you know, more than one ticket. So, I mean, typically at the time, you know, a workplace of 10 people might all get together and buy their tickets together on a Friday, see if they won. And if they won, they'd probably then use that for their work drinks or whatever it might be. And they'd hope that they'd win the jackpot. And Stefan's book, essentially, as far as I remember, understand, is that book was to show people, I suppose, well, this is how you can combine your numbers to reduce your odds. Pat had his own view of that as well. And obviously, you know, as he explains in the documentary, because Pat is in it, obviously, he had come from an engineering background and he saw this a little bit differently. So it was a kind of a very public conversation about the background to the book, which, you know, obviously that was a really interesting thing to put in the film, because what's great about looking back at those times is because the lottery was such a big deal, and it really is such a big deal to this day, and you consider the win that we had last week, also down in Cork, interestingly enough, because it was such a big deal, it was news, you know, and Stefan writing this book was news. And then when it came to the time when the syndicate tried to beat the system, which we show in the documentary, that had ended up being quite big news as well for those few days.
And you, Ross, tracked down a number of those syndicate members for the documentary. And I know there are others, they wanted to stay anonymous. But what did the ones you spoke to say about Stefan's idea and what they thought of it first when they heard of it?
I think it was a combination of probably firstly going, well, is this right? You know, and going off and maybe getting sort of third parties to double check it and so on and so forth. But then when they realised that it was correct, I think that they just saw, well, this is an opportunity, but also it sounds like something that's going to be tremendous fun. And I think when you meet all the people that were involved in the syndicate, you see a group of people that really were along for an adventure, as well as seeing the possibility in the investment.
And Stefan, how did you manage to convince people that this could work and that they should invest in your idea?
Well, first of all, I got together a large group of people for a meeting in my offices in Messville Road, and I had all the boxes behind me. They were only about 95% complete at the time, the cards. So the members in the audience, there were probably 30 to 40 people there. We put it to the test where several of the members picked six numbers at random and said, OK, these are the six numbers. Now show us the ticket, show us the card, because we didn't have, this was a couple of months before anything happened, of course. And lo and behold, pull the box out, there is the card. Then the second person picked another six numbers, the same thing happened. So that, I think, was the convincing aspect of it, where people, the investors, the members of the syndicate seemed quite happy that, look, okay, we put this to the test, it works in theory, now let's see how it happens in practice.
But you had to get all the slips, Stefan, and they had to be filled in by hand. I mean, how many slips were marked up by hand, and who did it, and how long did it take?
Well, 1,947,792, to be precise. But the difficult part was accumulating the blank cards, the empty cards, with such a large quantity of them, without being noticed. And I had a team of people going out to shops all over Dublin and even in County Cork to accumulate these cards bit by bit by bit in small amounts. There was one instance where one of the people was caught by a security guard and thrown out of the supermarket because he was taking a big batch out. And he wasn't stealing anything, because the cards are free for members to take anyway. So that's how the cards were accumulated. But marking the cards was the tricky bit. It meant breaking down all the combinations to make it sound simple, into different categories, and completing each category one by one by one. For example, a treble set of numbers with a double set of numbers and a single number. Three sets of two numbers, and so on. So my son, Stefan Jr., played a huge part in filling these cards out. He spent 10 months of his life sitting opposite me at a table at home with boxes all around the house, which he describes in the film. And we all had sore fingers after it.
But you had to have a brilliant mathematical brain to work this out in the first place, Stefan. Actually, a maths teacher just texted me, and John Brennan from Dundrum. He says, I taught that lotto story in my maths class in Dundrum. It was based on combinations, and the lotto made an error. It was possible to win more than the cost of covering all the numbers.
That's correct, Miriam. Yeah.
Math. Ross, did you understand, like, even the way he lists off the million whatever it was there, it's It's amazing. And the profile of the kind of person who joined in with the syndicate, Ross, were they very wealthy? Were they gamblers? Were they chancers? Were they just lads who found the whole idea so much fun they had to be part of it? They're great characters in the film.
Yeah, you know, I think most of the people that participated in it had certainly bet on horses in their background and that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to speak too much about them. At one stage, Stuart Kenny describes them as a room of reprobates, but that was his opinion, you know. But yeah, absolutely. I think that they were people, obviously, that were open to a game of chance.
Since you mentioned Stuart Kenny there, of course, former CEO of Paddy Power, let's have a listen to two of the people in the film. This is a clip from the doc. And another syndicate member as well as Stuart here called George Stevens.
Who wants to be a pinstripe, respectable businessman? Chancers are the best. Gamblers, I love gamblers. They're great fun. They have a great attitude to life. It's all about the game. Stefan mentioned to me that he had this great plan to buy all the tickets in the lotto. This seemed to me manna from heaven. And he said he had all the tickets ready.
I first heard from a client, if certain circumstances come together, you could actually have a pretty good chance of winning something from the lottery without necessarily taking a huge risk. I said, I can't imagine that. And he said, yeah, it said it's possible to win it. I said, I know it is, but it's obviously a huge long shot. And he said, well, not if you buy all the combinations.
But like Stefan, you also had to choose the exact week to play. There were prizes for match 4 and match 5. So even before the jackpot, you were confident that you would recoup a lot of the money. But how did you choose the exact week to play?
Well, first of all, it required a multiple number of jackpot carryovers. So it had to reach a minimum figure of about 1.2 million for a jackpot. In order to protect ourselves, the syndicate. So it was a bank holiday weekend, and it was usually bank holiday weekends that the National Lottery at the time introduced bonuses for their players, such as the £100 at the time for match 4. So that's why we waited until the Wednesday night draw, discovered that wasn't won. Oh, right, here we are. We have the £100 for Saturday. There is a multiple carryover. Now's the time. And that's when the button was pushed.
And Ross, the syndicate members, they had to put up the money, but they also had to organise the buying of tickets. Tell me a bit about how they spread the money around that morning.
Yeah, well, the idea, I suppose, they had in advance was they had a number of meetings and they said, like, you know, a certain number of the members would take responsibility for a certain number of the tickets. And they would then go out and sort of, let's say, if you took 50 grand or 100 grand, you would then try and bring that to a number of shops, because if you went to one shop, because the lottery had a very, you know, they were an incredible organization, they had a very sophisticated system. The syndicate obviously didn't want to make it clear what they were doing. And so the idea was to spread it around. But unfortunately, despite the attempts to do that, for them, the lottery did discover quite quickly, or did have an idea, an inkling quite quickly as to what was happening.
And how did they react?
Well, I don't want to give away too many twists and turns here, but yeah, you know, obviously they made the decision that they wanted to I think Stefan uses the words fight back at the time. So they looked at ways, I suppose, to try and slow the syndicate down. Like, I mean, they were protecting a much beloved game. And if you think of it from their perspective, they offered the £100 bonus not to create this opportunity, but actually to make the game attractive to the common person, you know, or like the average citizen, whoever was playing the lottery. So from their point of view, it's like, we're offering this wonderful thing. And for this weekend, these guys have seen this opportunity and they're doing something entirely legal. But obviously, maybe what they would say themselves, maybe they would feel it was not in the spirit of the game. So, you know, there was two sides, I suppose, that both felt they were completely justified in their actions, which is really, I suppose, what made it interesting to me. Like, I love the lottery. You know, we unfortunately didn't manage to persuade anyone from the lotto to take part. But, you know, I did actually get to talk to a few of them in the build up to it while I was trying to persuade them. And they're fantastic people. So, you know, it was really a case of something that was happening that, you know, you could see how the public might view it from both sides. They might think, you know, oh, this is great. Someone's trying to do something interesting here and beat the system. Or they might think, hold on, I love the lottery. I don't like the idea that people are trying to do something what, you know, they might consider to be untoward. So that was part of the attraction of it to me, is that it was quite a grey area from that perspective.
And you really build up that drama. Now, Ross, there was a bit of backlash, I think, from other quarters. Some people thought the syndicate did have every right to take the risk, but others thought maybe it was unfair on ordinary people who were spending, you know, a small amount of money, but dreaming of the big win.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose, like, if you came into a shop and someone was trying to buy many thousands of euros worth of ticket and you couldn't get your ticket, your normal ticket that you bought every week, then maybe you would feel a little bit put out. But I think overall, really, the feeling was like that, you know, I suppose the lottery at the time probably didn't feel like they wanted someone to just come in and easily take a clean sweep, that it might undermine the game, you know. And it was interesting when we looked at the archive of the time. And, you know, we are telling it from the perspective of the syndicate. So that is the perspective you're getting in this film. But when you looked at the footage at the time, the vox pops that were typically done on the street, you know, half of the people were saying, this is great, fair play to them. And then the other half were saying, no, they shouldn't be able to do this. So, I mean, that was really interesting to see as well.
It's nice, actually. Richie, who happens to be the son of George Stevens, has just sent in a text saying, I'm listening here in Japan on my honeymoon. My dad, of course, was involved in the syndicate George Stevens. A great story always told around our dinner table in the evening. Amazing to see it come to life. Ross has made an absolutely amazing film. Now, I don't want to ruin the ending completely because it's such a good film. But can you tell me, Ross, first of all, did their gamble pay off?
No, I can't tell you, Miriam. I'm sorry. Like, no, really what was fun about this film, and it was almost like being given like a script for a heist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you're watching Ocean's 11, it's all about building up to the ending and see, do they pull it off? And yeah, I'd prefer not to say, if you don't mind. People can come along next week and see it. And actually, we are having a screening with Stefan in Cork on Tuesday, which is, you know, we said it's released on July the 4th, but we've arranged this screening in Cork on Tuesday because he's a proud Cork man. So that'll actually be the first screening now.
Where
on Tuesday
in Cork?
Night. It's in the Arc Cinema.
Great.
On Tuesday night, yeah.
Now, Stefan, I know you're not going to tell me the ending either, but let's just say, what did it mean for you personally, Stefan, the result?
It's a difficult question to answer. What does it mean? Well, it meant that I was able to achieve something that was in my mind. It just happened in a natural way. I can't really explain it. It was just an automatic, like reading a book. You turn the page, you read the next page and so on. It was just something that came to my mind. Okay, this is what has to be done. I didn't need to have much thinking about it. And it just went ahead. It was as simple as that for me.
Did you continue to play the lotto, by the way? And did you ever come up with another grand scheme like that one?
I did, but I think it would be unfair to bring this up in the programme, Miriam. I don't think we'd get into that. Maybe when the film is shown, then after that, I think more disclosures could be made publicly.
Yeah, no, that I love that. I mean, are you proud of yourself when you think back on it, Stefan? Like, are you proud that you had this maths brain that came up with this ingenious scheme without telling people whether you succeeded or not?
Well, I think, Miriam, let's be realistic about it. Maths, physics and chemistry were the only subjects that I excelled at in my school days. Only those three. Everything else, I was a total disaster, apart from Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing.
He's a great character. Well, look, Ross Whittaker and Stefan, thank you both so much for being my guests this morning. Beat the Lotto will be in cinemas from Friday, as you say, in Cork again. Name the place again it's going to be.
Yeah, on Tuesday night in the Arc Cinema in Cork, we're doing a special screening, kind of like the home screening for Stefan. So yeah, that's Tuesday night. Looking forward to that.
And everyone can go along and they'll see whether or not they succeeded in Stefan's plan.
That's it.